That song didn't really work as well as it did when it was set up, but I think you got the gist of the song. And it's a wonderful psalm, that speaks to us. That verse from the middle of Psalm 119, "Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light for my path." I wanted to tell you this morning a bit about Scripture Union, because the holiday club that we've been doing all these years is done in partnership with Scripture Union, and here we are. Really, the story begins back in 1867. A man called Josiah Spears, who spoke to 15 children in a drawing room in Islington in North London, pioneering what was at the time a very new approach of sharing Christ with children. And these meetings grew rapidly, and soon the Children's Special Service Mission, or the CSSM, was formed, and that later became what we know today as Scripture Union. So Scripture Union really sees its earthly origin in this man, Josiah Spears, in 1867. And at around the same time, there was a man called Tom Bishop, who was a civil servant involved in a similar meeting in the south of London. And Tom Bishop met Josiah Spears in the spring of 1868, and they were to work together for the next 40 years, establishing a ministry which by 1893 had distributed 13 million children's leaflets in 50 languages all around the world, and which today operates in more than 130 countries. Later on in that first year in 1868, Josiah Spears went on holiday to Llandudno in North Wales and spontaneously held a children's meeting on the beach. He went down onto the beach, and in the sand he drew the text, "God is love." And he invited children, as you see in this etching, he invited children to come and to decorate it. And once they'd done that was their craft activity, he then told them a Bible story, and thus the beach mission was born. And many of you, I'm sure, have seen holiday clubs, not just in urban settings, but you've perhaps been to a beach mission. And it was beach missions I went to as a youngster as well, over in St Andrews, and we also saw them in North Berwick when we were on holiday there. So beach missions began in 1868 with Josiah Spears in Llandudno in North Wales. A few years later, in 1879, the Children's Special Service Mission introduced a system of daily Bible reading, the Children's Scripture Union, it was called. And initially, members received an annual membership card with a list of daily readings and suggestions for prayer, not unlike the E100 material or the prayer sheet that we produce week by week here in the church. Later, children's magazines were produced with explanatory notes, and many of you, I know, will have used these Bible reading notes as youngsters, and no doubt have continued to find appropriate Bible reading notes as adults. We have one or two copies of Bible reading notes over on the table just to my right here. If you don't have one, pick one up and enjoy starting using it. There were booklets of Bible reading notes that were produced for troops in the trenches during the what was called at the time the Great War, from 1914 to 1918, and that led to the first issue of Daily Notes for Adults in 1923. So for the past 90 years, Scripture Union have been producing daily Bible reading notes for adults. Of course, today, Scripture Union is not just about beach missions or missions in urban settings. There are camps, and the first boys' camp was held in 1892 in Littlehampton, led by someone called Major Liebenrode, a veteran from the Zulu War. And the following year, the caravan mission to village children was started, using a baker's cart to travel from village to village. And the caravan mission to village children became part of the Children's Special Service Mission. And both names eventually were dropped in the 1960s when Scripture Union became the name of the movement as a whole. After the Second World War, Scripture Union developed a new kind of ministry in state schools. And the Inter-School Christian Fellowship was born, paving the way for the school's ministry, which is so significant today. And some of our folks here in St. Leonard's go into the schools week by week and run scripture union groups in the schools with the children. And we thank God for the opportunity to do that and to be of service to the schools in that way. Pioneering and developing ministry has always been part, a feature of Scripture Union's ministry, and it continues today. And I thought I'd let you see one or two of the ways that that happens today. There are a number of websites related to digital ministries, Word Alive, Light Alive, producing material that's used by some Sunday schools, Schools Alive, information for people who work in schools on that website. A number of different websites that are well used. Now, the context may change over the years, but the need for children and young people to hear the good news of Jesus Christ remains the same today. As I said, Scripture Union now works in over 130 countries around the world and is still working to introduce children and young people to Jesus. Its activities and methods vary, but they are linked through an international fellowship. And here on this map on the screen, you see all the colours with the exception of the band across the middle that's coloured grey. All of these bright coloured areas around the world are areas where Scripture Union is working and where Scripture Union, local Scripture Union groups are part of Scripture Union International, this international fellowship. So we have Britain and Ireland region, including Israel and the former Soviet republics. There's Europe, there's Africa, there's the Americas, the Pacific region, Southeast Asia region, and East and West Asia region. So you see, Scripture Union is now a worldwide movement. It was worldwide when it started. 50 countries, 50 nationalities getting Bible reading material in their own language. And that has continued over the years. But the issue is about more than that. Although the gospel never changes, each culture in different parts of the world expresses it in a particular way. And so the work is carried out, as we're doing here this coming week, through local people in ways that are appropriate to the country and to the culture and the situation in which a movement is based. And this includes running camps and school seminars and student groups or producing resources for Bible reading or family counselling. There's AIDS education done through Scripture Union these days, urban children's work, youth ministry work, as well as ministry to the handicapped around the world. An amazing ministry. And of course, SU Scotland is very active, unlike my zapper here. There we are. SU Scotland's vision as a movement is to see children and young people of Scotland exploring the Bible and responding to the significance of Jesus. And of course, Chris Hithbeaty is one who works with SU over in the Kirkcaldy area as an SU worker. And I have a small involvement through the SU Missions Committee that's been meeting. Well, we're numbering our meetings. We meet about two or three times a year, and we're numbering our meetings in the hundreds, so you can tell how long the Scottish Missions Committee has been meeting to help see children and young people of Scotland explore the Bible and to respond to the significance of Jesus. Now, like all organisations, Scripture Union has a strategy, and it's on their website, Scripture Union Scotland's website, the vision to see young people, young children of Scotland explore the Bible, respond to the significance of Jesus, and a value statement. Our values are dependence on God and deepening relationships. Dependence on God and deepening relationships. That shouldn't just be a value statement for Scripture Union. It should be a value statement for every church across this land. Dependence on God and deepening relationships. And of course, we're in a block of 5-year aspirations just now. And in Scotland, to deepen relationships, to explore the Bible, to respond to the significance of Jesus. That's what we're hoping for the children this week. To pray, to be equipped for service, and to be supported with more volunteers and staff. And you'll see the major streams of their work there in schools, residential work, missions, online stuff, websites, training and equipping. And four emphases that Scripture Union are working through in the middle of this block of time between 2011 and 2015 to prioritise the disadvantaged, to work with churches, to respond and recognize to the family context that people are in today, to evaluate the quality and effectiveness of the ministry. And that takes many, many forms, and it's a difficult job, but that's work that's going on right now across Scotland through Scripture Union. Now, like all organisations, Scripture Union has rebranded over the years. Here's the current logo. This is the English version. Scotland has a very similar version with Scotland written on it. But like all organisations, they've rebranded, and you'll see this kind of wavery thing at the top. That's the old logo rebranded. When I was younger and a member of an SU group in my primary school, the logo was much simpler. And in some ways more profound. This is still the symbol that's used across the world by many, many groups. It's certainly used in the Ukraine, which is the international project that SU Scotland are concentrating on this year. And if you come along to either the parents' evening, Friday night evening at the Holiday Club, or next Sunday down at the church, and we'll be seeing something of the international ministry in the Ukraine that's being directly supported by the giving of Holiday Club teams and camp teams and SU supporters here in Scotland this year. Last year, there was something like £10,000 raised, and that enabled a holiday club, a few holiday clubs to happen. This year, it's a much bigger venture, and some fantastic gospel work going on with children, young people and families in Ukraine, because people in Scotland are giving, and I hope part of our giving through this holiday club week will be towards that. So here's the logo I knew as a youngster. I bet some of you knew that one as well. It was a simple lamp, an oil lamp. And that lamp is meant to be a symbol of the Word of God in the Bible that lights the way of life for us. And if we are to use the Bible, then hadn't we better know it? Now, over the course of this year here at St. Leonard's, we're taking the E100 Bible Reading Challenge. So here's my question for Holiday Club members and for congregation alike. How well do you know your Bible? How well do you know your Bible? You see, fewer and fewer people in our country actually know the Bible. And among those who do think they know the Bible, there are a good number who know a lot about the Bible, but they don't know God. They don't have the relationship with God that God so wants and God outlines is possible through His Word. Yes, they know the stories, but they don't know the author of the stories. So we must come back to the psalmist's description. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your Word, the Bible, is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. A lamp, a light, a practical tool for finding the way through life. Now, the Bible is not primarily a religious almanac jammed with facts about the geography of the flood or the genealogy of the tribes or the geography of the Holy Land. It's not primarily a storybook about patriarchs and prophets and kings and fiery furnaces and fiery serpents, although it has some wonderful stories in it. The Bible is rather a lamp. A lamp that produces light for life. It's not a book about life. It's a book that gives life when we read it and when we come to know its author. For in this book, the Bible, Jesus himself comes and meets us and enlightens us and warms us up and guides us safely home. And that's the whole purpose of the Bible, isn't it? That we are guided safely home to meet Jesus. It is, said the evangelist John in his gospel, a book that is written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ and that by believing you may have life in his name. And to put it into a word picture, lamps and lanterns are of no use until they are lit. The lamp is not lit until you see and enjoy the life of Jesus shining through it. So do you? Is your lamp lit? Well, most of us here I think, would say that the light of Jesus has come to us at some point in our life, that our lamp was lit once upon a time. But a lamp is only useful to us in darkness if it stays lit. It must have an adequate fuel supply. There's a story in the Gospels of five foolish maidens that learned the hard way. Do you remember that story? In the story, Jesus told there were 10 maidens, 10 virgins waiting for a bridegroom to return. 5 of them were wise. They had stored up a good supply of lamp oil so they could keep the light burning to guide the bridegroom to where they were. But 5 of them were foolish. And they'd forgotten all about getting enough oil, and they lit their lamp and their lamp went out. The oil ran out. That's what happened to the foolish ones. And when the bridegroom came, they weren't ready. They couldn't see. And so they missed out. So God's word to us, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path," is telling us to be wise, to get a good full supply of oil. The song goes, "Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray." And I have good news for you, for the Holiday Club team, for those of us in the congregation. Good news, because today is a day of grace. God's store is open and there's plenty of oil for your lamp. There is wisdom in your confusion. There's forgiveness for your sins. There's strength against temptation. There's comfort and hope for the darkest days. There's light for your path, wherever it leads. All of it in Jesus, who said, "I am the light of the world." And you see, Jesus is near to you, as near as the words on my lips and the words that you're hearing in your ears. So fill your tanks, trim your wicks. And if your lamp has gone out, then let Jesus light again the flame that once burned. I love the books, The Lord of the Rings, the trilogy of books. And in that book, The Lord of the Rings, there's a little company of the ring protecting this precious ring that has entered a very dark area, a dreadful area, deep in the mines of Moria. And they are surrounded by enemies. They're surrounded by a bewildering choice of pathways led the pathways that are really taxing their strength, and it's very daunting. They doubt they're up to the task. But they're not alone. They have with them the good wizard Gandalf the Grey. And when the door to the mine is slammed shut, sealing them in, they know they cannot go back. They cannot back out of the mine. They cannot get out that way, the way they've come. They must go through this dark, dangerous, difficult area of Moriah to their journey's end. In the book, "I think," says Gandalf, "that we will venture some serious light." And he lights the end of his magical staff, and suddenly the whole area is filled with light, light for them to see their way. That light and Gandalf's trustworthy memory lead them on. And today, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are increasingly moving in darkened times. And there can be no backing out. We're committed to the path that lies before us. But we're not alone, because the Lord who walks with us has a light that none can quench and a knowledge of the way home. He will not fail us. I think he says to us today that we will venture some serious light. Yes, we say to him, yes, for your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Amen. May God bless his word to us every time we read from it.